up next from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. This is News Talk 920 KVEC, hometown radio for the Central Coast. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always, your hometown radio talk show. It is Friday, August 29, 2014. As Joe's been pointing out, traffic is heating up southbound on the 101. Just keep it tuned right here to Hometown Radio. We're live with you until 7 o'clock. If there's any traffic, we will give you updates. Help us help you. Give Joe a call if you come across anything. Meanwhile, during the 5 o'clock hour of today's broadcast, Karen Gray is here, just back from Paris. She spent a month there. She's going to share with us some of her experiences and impressions of the French culture. 6 o'clock hour, Joe joins me for last call. We'll sit here, take your phone calls, talk about whatever you want to talk about. Maybe like that lame Tribune editorial this morning. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Now, as I introduce David Weissman from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, I just want to point out that this is a segment we've had planned for a couple weeks. I initially contacted David after the recent New Times cover story, but he's been out of town. And so this is kind of like in addition to the previous conversations we've had this week already with Linda Seeley and on Wednesday with Gene Nelson. Anyway, David is here. Good to see him again. Hey, David.
And great to be back at St. Louis.
Let's remind folks a little bit about the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility.
Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility is a consumer energy advocacy group. Our main concerns are with the issues of state jurisdiction and nuclear power. That is, how much does it cost and how reliable will it be? Those have been our concerns.
Your phone is right there. You're sitting here with one eye on the phone. You're waiting for a call.
Or an email, actually, or a text message. Yeah, many folks may know that going back to the year 2007, our then-Senator Sam Blakesley had a piece of legislation, AB 1632, that had the California Energy Commission request that PG&E do updated seismic studies because something could happen, and that would impact the reliability or the cost of our depending on electricity from
right.
Diablo Canyon. Well, we've been waiting for the results of those studies ever since. People may remember there was a bit of a controversy a few years back when a part of those studies that involved offshore blasting became an issue, and that was vetoed. But they went ahead with everything else, theoretically, that was on that agenda.
Right.
And they've been promising the results of those studies the better part of this year. Here's a memo from them that says that June 2014 will be the report, which will be independently peer-reviewed and provided. And then in June, they sent out a memo that said it would actually be the end of July. And at the end of July, they sent out a memo that said it would be the end of August.
Well, here we are, end of August.
And here's a memo dated August 12th that has it listed right here. Final report to the NRC, August 2014. So we're in the last hour of the last business day of the month. So I'll be excited to see if that report comes my way. If anyone at PG&E is listening, they're welcome to send it to david@a4nr.org.
I'm sure they're listening. I know they're listening.
Send that report along. Of course, they could always send it on a Sunday. We have two more full days of August.
And what do you expect to see in this report, David?
Well, in theory, this should be the results of both the interpretation of all the onshore and the low-energy offshore data that they had been collecting without the controversy that surrounded the other work that wasn't done. It should present an updated analysis of both the site and the setting of Diablo Canyon and the tectonics of the region. We'll be anxious to see what they come up with. Also, an important point, we had a witness in our public utilities case regarding the funding of this, Dr. Douglas Hamilton. Dr. Hamilton was PG&E's originally a staff consulting seismologist back in the early 70s when all of this began. And he postulated the theory of the Diablo Cove Fault, which he says, according to his interpretation.
The Diablo Cove Fault.
Diablo Cove Fault travels from the North Headland, just north of the plant, underwater, just at the north end of the plant, and heads out, and by his look at the latest data from the USGS and the Monterey Bay Marine Program, he sees it connecting with the shoreline fault. And when the Public Utilities Commission gave them our ratepayer money to do these studies, we were in the case and said, you've got to address what Dr. Hamilton's concerned about. And they said, yes, we will address Dr. Hamilton's concerns. The last few presentations they've given did not show maps or diagrams or charts that address Dr. Hamilton's concerns, but we have been assured that this final report will address Dr. Hamilton's proposed Diablo Cove Fault.
You sound a little cynical, David.
Oh, you know, I was just on a lovely vacation, so coming back to a pile of all of, you know, this. When we left, as you pointed out, Dave, it was the Sewell tsunami report that was the issue du jour. This was a subject I was following, as the article indicated, a couple of years ago, merely because of a transparency issue. This report came into my possession originally when I was discussing the issues of transparency and joking about what we can and can't see. So someone sent it to me. And, of course, I'll let you see the report here, Dave. Take a look at it.
It's all blank pages.
Yes, that's all you get are blank pages. And I looked at it.
It's not even redacted. They're blank.
Well, they actually just removed everything from the page, yes. And, and of course, you'll see the headline, Tsunami Hazard and Design Basis, Specific Issues for the Diablo Canyon Site, An Implicit Generic Issue for Existing Coastal Nuclear Facilities, December 17th, 2002.
And who's doing this thing?
This was Dr. Robert T. Sewell of Robert T. Sewell and Associates.
But who redacted it?
NRC's Fukushima Task Force.
Okay.
Now, tsunamis, of course, would be of issue to anyone dealing with Fukushima, right. Because you may recall in those weeks that followed Fukushima,
right.
We were constantly told we are 85 feet above sea level, and nothing can possibly happen.
Right.
Well, that's how the story would have remained, except this past March, on the anniversary of the Fukushima disaster, an MSNBC reporter uncovered, or through Freedom of Information Act, all the NRC emails that had been circulating in the weeks and minutes and hours that followed. It was 1,000 pages, but I had the ability to sit and look through them. They were not searchable. They were in that sort of PDF format where you can't cut and paste, right. And you can't search. And I went page after page until something about Diablo would hit me. And I found this one, and there was a letter, and it said, it was an internal memo, I am forwarding a message I received from Dr. Sewell, a consultant that requires your consideration. This issue raised in his message has a prior history. And indeed, it's about the tsunami study. He sent a letter to the NRC just less than 2 weeks after the tsunami, and here's what he said. A major problem, well, he says, please review the attached documents I prepared back in 2002 for Diablo Canyon. These documents provided recommendations well in advance of the Indian Ocean tsunami of 2004 that pertained to the licensing basis for the Diablo Canyon plant. Unfortunately, the recommendations went unheeded at that time, and the NRC was then not willing to open up the prospect of reevaluating the tsunami basis for the Diablo Canyon plant. I was told at the time there was a disbelief a tsunami could truly damage a rugged nuclear power facility, something the recent Japanese event has proven otherwise, and B, there existed uncertainty, professional differences of opinion, as to whether or not the scenarios I explored were credible, although that question of uncertainty was, to my knowledge, not further pursued, as I believe safety prudence should have dictated. And he implores them in the end of this letter to please, underlined, I am requesting you at this time reconsider the attached documents, personally review them, and provide them to responsible parties in the NRC.
All right, translate.
He wrote the tsunami study. He found that there were problems with Diablo being able to fend off a tsunami. He submitted the report. The NRC let the report languish. He sees what happens in Japan. He writes them back because it was only a draft. It hadn't been formally presented. He says, look, you've got to open this up again and take a look. What I said, I believe now as much as ever, if not more so. And the NRC says, no, it's Freedom of Information Act. It's redacted. We're not letting it out. Well, we managed to get one page. Somebody, somehow, got one page out of his report. We don't know how. It appeared in my inbox. It's a chart. Impacts of the Diablo Canyon site of 13 landslide scenarios. So we get a hint. He's looking at landslides causing tsunamis. And he has the different places on the plant, from up at the spent fuel pads down to the bottommost sea level. And he's got 13 scenarios that he calculated. And he indicates in a box whether it's yes or no, would there be an impact? Well, you've got 6 rows of levels from 45 feet, 85 feet, 80 feet, 310 feet above sea level, across the 13 possible scenarios. Now, at the spent fuel pad, which is what he was commissioned to look at, this was done for that, only in two places, two of his proposed scenarios, would the water ever be an impact. But at the 85-foot main grade of the plant, Yes, 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 yes. Well, what scenarios and what formulas was he using that allowed him to conclude that could happen?
And allow me the naive question then. Why are you not just able to contact this guy directly?
I have spoken to him.
And asked to see a copy of the report.
And as he said, I did this under contract as a work made for hire and had to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
So he's not able to give it out?
He is not.
And what does he say when you talk to him?
Very little. Because I guess he's very concerned about the proprietary nature of the report. Now, we brought this up. I raised this before the Diablo Safety Committee. I said, there's a tsunami study. And Dr. Robert Budnitz of the Safety Committee, I said, it's done by a Robert Sewell. Oh, he says, Bob Sewell, Robert he goes by, is an excellent engineer, top flight man in his field. This is a man of solid reputation. In fact, I am partnering him with him on a project in Switzerland right now. Well, then, Dr. Budnitz, you might be interested to know the NRC won't let us. What? That's outrageous, says Dr. Budnitz of the Safety Committee. He has now said that he has now put in a request to the NRC and requested that he be and the Diablo Safety Committee be shown this report. We have a lot of people asking to see this report.
Speculation on your part. Why won't the NRC go public with it?
Because it may present damaging evidence that doesn't fit the scenarios that they have all come to accept and believe.
All right, David Weissman on this broadcast from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. More conversation straight ahead. I'd stick around. Yeah! California headline news at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll start welcoming your phone calls for David Weissman. Joining us in Hometown Radio from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. Covering a variety of issues relating to the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant in PG&E. And the table is just covered with documents. David does his research. Again, the website for the Alliance is, David?
www.a4nr.org.
Well, a lot of controversy now with PEC. And a lot of media coverage, as you're aware of. You know PEC. You've spoken to him. What are your impressions of him, David?
Dr. Peck has, if one reads the newly released by the Associated Press reporter, Michael Blood, his differing professional opinion, his response to the NRC's attempt to slap down his claims that PG&E is right now acting outside of their licensing basis, 41 pages, thoroughly researched, documented with all the citations from the NRC's own codes, that the NRC is actually violating the NRC's own policies. And that the plant is out of compliance with its licensing basis as of this very moment. He's very careful, and I've seen some headlines that exaggerate it. They'll say, nuclear inspector demands plant be shut down. Well, yes, he demands that it be shut down pending resolution of these unresolved seismic concerns. He's not suddenly become an anti-nuclear activist who's demanding the shutdown of a nuclear plant.
Right.
That's former NRC Chairman Gregory Iosco. That's the tour he's on around the world these days. As he was the chairman during the Fukushima incident.
Right.
What Peck is saying is until you answer these questions, and that's again, he's asking that the questions be answered, the data and the studies be done to show that the equipment can withstand the earthquake the plant was originally designed for. It's a very complex issue. The document can be downloaded from our website. If you go to the website and you put Peck differing professional opinion in the search box, it will take you to the PDF file. It's actually, if you scroll down our homepage, about 3 inches down, you'll find it. And what he's saying is, when the plant was designed and built, the earthquake was assumed to be X, and everything was designed to satisfy X. Then they found the Hosgri fault. Well, no, they didn't find it. PG&E didn't look for it. The NRC didn't make them. Shell oil geologists found it. It was there whether they liked it or not. It was a strong, potentially strong fault. So they had to go back, as we all know the story, and redesign and rebuild a lot of the plant, and it ended up costing $4.5 billion more. Well, PG&E still had that original license that assumed earthquake of damage was X. Now they had to deal with X plus 1, which is the Hosgri fault. And it's true, the Hosgri fault in terms of magnitude was greater than the original X. But remember, the original X is in that original 1967-69 license. That's the signed document that gives them the right to build a plant. What the NRC said is, okay, we're going to grant you an exemption for this newly found fault, and we're going to kind of tack that on as an amendment or as a staple it on the back as an appendix, but it's not your original license.
Right.
It's sort of saying, okay, we found this and you had to do that. Well, what PG&E is now saying is every time that something new is found, well, the something new is less than this Hosgree fault. Therefore, it fits into that one and it's covering it. And what Peck is saying, no, that's not true. That Hosgree fault that you were allowed to do that was a stapled-on add-on. It's not the original signed document. You have to subject anything new to the criteria of the original X.
Yeah, but as you're aware, David, PG&E is trying to downplay this by suggesting that Peck's just one. He's the only inspector that has come out with these concerns.
As one might expect, PG&E would have downplayed the inspection reports of the gas pipeline inspectors from the Public Utilities Commission. And we saw that ended in a fiery explosion in San Bruno with 8 dead, 38 homes destroyed, pending 24 federal indictments, including obstruction of justice and possible fines over $3 billion. What I posit is that we're dealing with a corporate culture issue here that looks at all these renegade inspectors as merely meddlesome or troublesome people to be dealt with. I have here a memo from Lauren Sharp of PG&E. It's dated of January 6, 2011. Dr. Peck has been tasked to prepare speaking points for Mr. Vagel. Tony Vagel was an NRC executive.
Okay.
On why the NRC considers the plant to be safe with the shoreline fault for the public meeting on January 19th. It would behoove us to explain the conservatism in the shoreline report with Dr. Peck. Be aware, he will start asking about how we know we can safely shut down with the new spectra, i.e., do we meet the double design earthquake? That's the original X I just spoke of. Hosgree is bounding, and we have qualified a safe shutdown strategy with Hosgree active qualified equipment. He will undoubtedly say that is our licensing basis. I suggest we'll have to keep him focused on addressing safety and capability versus licensing compliance.
Again, translate.
Dr. Peck is going to say, you may have had this later fault that seems to be stronger and say that everything fits underneath it, but that's not the document to which you need to be responding. That's not your original granted license. And PG&E is suggesting we need to be shifting him off that subject.
I tried to get PG&E to be on the show this week, David, and they declined, saying that they thought this was an internal debate within the NRC, and they didn't want to get involved.
Here's another memo from Ken Johnston, went back to the seismic staff and others at PG&E. Had a long conversation with Dr. Peck today. This is back in 2010, again, when this all started, regarding the shoreline and unanalyzed conditions. To make a long story short, I argued the shoreline was not in our current licensing basis, and therefore we did not need to evaluate our structure, systems, and components against it for operability. Dr. Peck argued that the current licensing basis includes 10 CFR 100. That's the original licensing designation of the NRC, since that is the basis for the final safety analysis report, and that the information of a new fault would have been considered had the review been done today, represents our current licensing basis. So what they're realizing is that they're out of compliance. They tried to work around the inspector. The inspector filed this, and it's now got the national attention, and Barbara Boxer asking for hearings.
But Mr. Peck is no longer here. He's back in Tennessee, isn't he?
That is correct. Dr. Peck was sent back by the NRC.
Early.
He could have done a full 7 years here, and at the fifth year, he was shifted to a training facility in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
So they didn't want him around?
No. This isn't really a career plus activity. But like I say, I think we're dealing here, you know, when you dig into the memos that deal with what was allowed to happen at San Bruno, I think you're going to find similarities. Often a PG&E talking point might be, well, that was the gas division. No, what we're seeing here is there's an internal pattern of obfuscation.
All right, David Wiseman is here for the hour with Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. When we return, we'll start welcoming your phone calls. I would stick around. Happy Labor Day. Have a great three-day weekend. Be safe. We want to see you with us on Tuesday. Dr. Paul Giorgio is going to be here. I'm Dave Congleton, still to come on this broadcast. Karen Gray is here at 5:05, just back from an exciting month in Paris. She'll share with us her adventures. Meanwhile, we continue with David Weissman from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, where the website always is
A4NR.org.
Now, did you get any email during the break?
No, no seismic reports have come in. But again, technically, it says the end of August, so it could be Sunday at 11:59 p.m.
All right, we welcome your phone calls for David, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832 if you would like to participate in the conversation. Bill's in Santa Maria on KVEC. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. I'm
sure.
A citizen. I've been looking at Diablo for quite a long time, and I see a very safely run plant giving us clean air here and fighting global warming. Now, I go to all the NRC meetings and the Safety Committee meetings, and I know something about this tsunami study. The reason they didn't release it is because the science is not good. It's not a valid study, according to the NRC. All their scientists have reviewed it and said, this is junk science. We're not going to put our name on it and put it out there to the public.
Hang on a second. Let David respond to that.
Well, you kind of answered your own question. The NRC has reviewed it. Has it been peer-reviewed by any academic or external institutions?
It's peer-reviewed by the NRC. They've got all kinds of people. I've been to the meetings. I've seen these people. They're top-flight people, and they say the earthquake safety is fine. One guy comes out, and we suddenly have all these groups springing into action. Why do you want to close Diablo Canyon so badly and put us back on fossil fuel? I breathe the air. I don't want to be back on more.
All right, hang on. Don't pull us off topic, Bill.
I'd just be curious to know, if his study is such junk science, why can't we see it and determine, or have our scientists look at it and determine it's junk? Why should they be the arbiter of determining the junk, a sole agency that keeps it within their closed doors?
You guys just make anything that's not released, you know, anything. You call it a secret report, you know, secret report. They're hiding this from us. And you've been doing this for years.
Bill,
the earthquake is just one of your...
Bill, I've got the report right here. It's like, I don't know, 75 pages. Every page is blank. I think David's got a legitimate question here.
To get us back on fossil fuel.
Well, you keep going to that argument. That's not the point. The point is, if this report is there, why can't we see it?
You know, there's probably a lot of stuff they didn't turn in because it wasn't adequate. It wasn't a proper report. I used to write reports, and all my reports when I worked for a city.
Why can't we see the report?
They weren't up to snuff in some aspect, or they didn't address something. So there can be all kind of reasons. But you guys come in immediately. I've heard this.
Here you go on the thing. It's a simple question, David. Why can't we see the report?
The NRC says we can't see this report. We can't determine if it's junk. We know this. Dr. Robert Budnitz, who you, sir, have addressed at the Safety Committee meetings, and you were there, and you heard Dr. Robert Budnitz of the Safety Committee say, not but 20 feet in front of you, Dr. Robert Sewell is a top-flight scientist and the finest man in his profession.
But why would you accuse the NRC of hiding something from the public to protect the PG&E? Why would they want to do that? They have no connection with PG&E. They're charged with watching after nuclear safety, which they do very well, in my opinion.
Is that a fair assessment? There's no relationship between NRC and PG&E?
Absolutely, there's a relationship between NRC and PG&E. I have 40 pages of emails and memos here. If you want to know if there's a relationship between the NRC and PG&E.
It's fine. Bill, thanks for the call. We move on. We've got Blaine and Avila on KVEC. Hi, Blaine.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good. Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to follow on to the previous caller's questions. You know, this big conspiracy theory that it somehow exists, and how, you know, I used to be a federal government employee, and how PG&E is somehow in bed with a NRC is just a crazy accusation, I think. And I wonder if there's any proof there.
Well, can I read you a PG&E memo from December 15th of 2011?
Sure.
Notes. It's described as such. These are meeting notes of a subject, shoreline fault discussion with Neil O'Keefe of the NRC. So these are transcriptions of notes that a PG&E employee made of a telephone conference call. And here's what goes on in the conference call. Neil asked, that's the NRC person, why PG&E doesn't want to plug the shoreline fault zone values into the original design basis analysis. Now that we've answered the technical questions, we need to address the legal question. Neil, that's the NRC person, talking as reported by the PG&E reporter here on the phones. If there was a technical reason for leaving the double design earthquake in the design basis, he stated we'd done a good job with the license amendment request of cleaning up the other loose ends, but his advice is that we eliminate the double design earthquake as our safe shutdown earthquake for our licensing basis. His opinion is that by leaving it in, it appears as if we are covering something up. We need to be able to tell a simple story for the people to understand, and the simple story won't stand on its own if we leave the double design earthquake in. We should be using the design earthquake to show that we can continue to operate.
All right, but I need...
Anyway, the problem is here. So here's the NRC guy
that makes
coaching...
sense, that the NRC is the regulator that oversees Diablo.
And here he is
and
coaching
them. And apparently you have a concerned employee who has some concerns about what the NRC is saying.
No, that's it. It doesn't add up. You have
the...
I maybe couldn't do the voices for you. That was the NRC... This is a report of the NRC coaching PG&E. He strongly cautioned us that we had better be able to demonstrate through reviewable evidence that all safety-related qualifications are qualified for the HOSGRI.
And this was in the New Times article.
It sounds like what you have is a bunch of operators out of Diablo who know exactly what they're talking about.
No, this isn't Diablo. This is a conversation with headquarters and the NRC. This isn't Diablo. This is management.
I mean, this you know, like the previous caller said, you know, one person speaks up, and the whole entire universe that's against Diablo springs into action, and it just smells funny to me. And you know, I live in the area. I feel safe. I feel like PG&E has done a very adequate job of letting me know about any sort of concerns with the plant safety, which there are none.
You think PG&E assured the people up in San Bruno?
You know, the thing is that when the people who work out at Diablo retire, they retire here. So I think that speaks volumes to the safety of the plant.
No, I'm not talking about the rank and file. The rank and file people are fine. I'm talking about the management culture. How many federal indictments are we talking about now?
I think it's up to 27.
All right, 27 federal indictments.
Against Diablo?
Against PG&E.
Well, we're talking about Diablo here.
We are talking about PG&E. We're talking about PG&E and the management culture out of San Francisco.
You're jumping on the bandwagon behind this guy who says there might be some concerns with an earthquake.
I have plenty of concerns about PG&E. I have a lot of concerns about PG&E.
I'm talking about Diablo. This is just, you know, you're...
All right, well, here, if you don't want to listen to reason, that's fine. But let's summarize San Bruno. How many people killed?
8. All including right. two employee and her child of the Public Utility Commission itself.
All right. And how many federal indictments?
About 27.
And the general accusation, PG&E misled the public.
Obstruction of justice.
Thank you, Blaine. Carl is on KVEC. Hi, Carl.
Hi, David. How are you?
Oh, good, Carl. How are you?
Good, thanks. I, again, want to thank Dave for being on your show. I appreciate his watchdog, but I do have a couple of questions because philosophically he and I, we differ totally on this. Other types of energy sources, he and I are in full agreement. But doesn't some of the funding for nuclear responsibility come from PG&E, which then makes it rather interesting to the fact that they're paying you to try to shut them down, even though I do respect, you know, your watchdog attitude. I find that probably being more in bed than I do the NRC, which is government employees that have no real skin in the game, per se, to defend Diablo Canyon or PG&E. And I do remember at one hearing where I actually asked the question of the commissioners. There was 5 commissioners, and I asked them if they were for or against nuclear power. 2 of them said that when they joined the NRC, they were against and they would have no problem in shutting the plant down if, in fact, there was something that was unsafe. For that, I do believe that the NRC is doing their job as best they can with the information they have, which I believe is very thorough.
All right, hang on, Carl. Let's get a response.
No, I have no knowledge of the Pacific Gas and Electric ever having donated money to the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility You know, we file a 990 form with the IRS, just like every nonprofit, and there's no donations from PG&E.
And then what about the larger issue that Carl's arguing that the NRC does provide oversight of PG&E and Diablo? They would shut it down.
Well, remember, the NRC is actually paid by us, the ratepayers. The utilities like PG&E pay fees to the NRC for the inspections and the oversight. Those fees are then passed along to us, the ratepayers. So we're actually paying for our own oversight, which is why we feel we have the right to demand this level of accountability.
What else, Carl?
Well, I feel that a lot of what is being said is a doomsday. You know, could there be a major earthquake? Yes. In fact, there was one in 2003. The plant did quite well with the fault in this area. And so I do believe that there are safeguards in place for the plant. I don't believe there's going to be a tsunami that's going to be 110 feet high. And I do believe there's a greater likelihood of me walking across the street and getting run over by a car.
That may happen, but I hope it doesn't, Carl. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, you know, and again, to the other earlier response of Carl that he spoke to the five commissioners here, I do not believe that the five commissioners of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission have ever appeared in San Luis Obispo simultaneously. You may have spoken to five staff members from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission when they appeared.
But what about his point? Pastor Robles earthquake 2003, no damage to the plant.
Was about 45 or 50 miles away from the plant, whereas the shoreline fault passes within 600 yards of the plant.
Bob is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave and David.
Hi, Bob.
The arguments that I'm hearing by the people who don't want this report to come out really are not addressing the thrust of what I feel you're trying to present here. We have a scientific study. It needs to be peer-reviewed. It needs. It has questions that need to be answered. And everybody would rather obfuscate and redact and hide than bring this out into the open and have an honest discussion about it. If the plant is built so well, which I have no doubt it is built well, and it is run so well, which I have no doubt it's run as well as it can be run, I still have questions about PG&E's corporate structure and mentality.
Sure.
And I really fear that if they have a way that they can cut costs and cut corners someplace, even though their staff working at the plant is doing their job as diligently as possible, I would wager that they have improvements they can see to the plant, but they're not allowed to do them because of the costs involved.
Let's get a comment.
What the trajectory you are tracing is not unlike what is beginning to be revealed regarding San Bruno, that there were the well-intentioned rank-and-file workers out there in the field looking at pipelines.
The workers are great.
But unfortunately, the management above them was, it's a little bit costly to investigate all of this, so we're just going to let this slide here and there. And indeed, it is a slippery slope. We see how it's bitten General Motors quite badly.
What else, Bob?
The other argument that I hear put forth is that nuclear power is somehow supposed to be green. The generation of electricity is green, but everything else about mining uranium and everything else, it's not a green technology.
All right. I want to stay off that topic, though, and focus on what we've got here. Bob, thank you. Let me squeeze in Jim in Arroyo Grande. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Dave. How
Hi,
are
Jim?
You?
We're good.
Well, okay. I just want to ask a couple of questions or just make a statement.
Give me your best one.
I can't wait for Barbara Boxer to put Miss McFarland, the head of the NRC, in front of the Senate committee and ask her how come they haven't provided those documents that they were supposed to react to in 60 to 120 days and address them point by point. And they held on to those documents for a year.
May I comment?
Yeah.
We actually met in person earlier at the end of last year with Chairman McFarland in her office with my attorney, John Giesman, and Rochelle Becker of the agency of our group. We sat right across the sofa from Chairman McFarland, and our attorney, John Giesman, said, are you aware that your resident inspector has claimed this, this, and this, and that he has said this and this? And she looked to her left at her assistant, she looked to the right, and then she looked at us and shrugged and said, really? Did we do that? So it was like a deer in the headlights moment, and I agree with you.
And that's exactly what she did at the last Senate hearing with Barbara Boxer. And I can't wait to see the next one, and that's all I want to say.
I'm glad you said
it. It's going to be an issue.
Thank you, Jim. We'll come back and wrap things up with David Weissman from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. So thank you. Karen Gray joins us after the news at the top of the hour. All right, David Weissman from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, play this out for us. Where do you think this is all going to go?
It's going to go as goes Barbara Boxer. It's going to go as the Friends of the Earth have taken this and turned it into a formal petition against the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It will play out through the rest of this year. PG&E has also announced that they will decide, it's in the end of the Tribune article, by the end of this year, whether or not to pursue a relicensing effort. Remember, they marched into town 5 years ago this November as a fait accompli that was going to be signed, stamped, and delivered in 2 years. Right. And now it's further away and more questionable than ever that this plant will have a continued existence. There's the once-through cooling issue yet to be resolved by the State Water Board.
But why wouldn't PG&E pursue it? Why would they pursue Diablo Canyon?
Well, they can, but if they do and they want to use ratepayer money, then they're going to have to answer the 8 or 9 demands that the Public Utilities Commission has made of them. So, in other words, the list of hurdles, and they're going to have to get a permit from the Coastal Commission. The list of hurdles just grows and grows and grows. But I speak of the Public Utilities Commission to focus in the conclusion on why the Alliance looks at the economics. Follow the money. We have been in public utilities cases, how they spend our money. PG&E is asking for money for these seismic studies. And we said, you know, in the past, they've spent our money. We don't know what they've been looking for. How do they miss all these faults? And we said, if you're going to give them any more money, we want the same independent peer review panel that's looking at the current studies to look over all their studies. And, you know, Bruce Gibson, Dr. Bruce Gibson, is on that panel. And sure enough, due to the diligence of our attorney in this very last public utilities case, here's the answer. We adopt A4NR's proposal that from now on, the same review by the Energy Division's independent peer review panel will be applied to all of PG&E's seismic studies. So we're going to be, as one of the callers mentioned, we want our peer reviewing outside the box. We want independent people looking at this, and that was a victory for the Alliance. And the second one was a lot of talk about the waste pools being very full and that it's safer to get the waste out of the pools and into those canisters. But PG&E has been dragging their feet on that. Well, another victory for us in this last case, if they want money to build more cement pads to put the canisters on out there, it's conditioned on them getting the waste out of the pool faster.
So they could just walk away.
Well, you remember, in another decision this week, the NRC finally said, yep, waste can be left on site for 120 years. It'll be perfectly fine.
Wow.
But better in the casks than in the pools.
So it's not unlike San Onofre.
In many ways. You notice what happened with San Onofre. As soon as Barbara Boxer started holding hearings and saying, hey, to do what you needed to do, you needed not just to slip some paperwork around, but get a full-fledged license amendment revision. And that's not what Dr. Peck's saying. If you want to change your seismic standards, you got to have a hearing.
All right, David, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
News, traffic, weather. Karen Gray is in the house on Hometown Radio.